Kids' Letters, December 2013. People sometimes look surprised when I say that I love to get fan letters from children. I'm surprised that they're surprised. I get some very lovable letters from kids under 10 who write me on their own, mostly with a little parental input. They often describe themselves as your hugest fan, which makes me imagine them as towering amiably over the Empire State Building. But most of the letters come from school classes that read the Cat Wings books. I try to answer these letters at least by thanking every child by name. I can't usually do much more than that. Some are problematic. The teacher has told the kids to write an author, making the assignment a requirement without regard for the student's feelings or capabilities, or mine. One desperate 10-year-old forced to write the author told me, "I have read the cover. It is pretty good." What am I to say to him? His teacher put both him and me on the spot and left us there. Not fair. Frequently, teachers tell the students to tell the author what their favorite part of the book is and to ask a question. The favorite part is fine. The kid can always fake it. But asking a question is pointless unless the student really has one. It's also inconsiderate, raising the impossible expectation that a working author can write back with answers to 25 or 30 different questions, even if most of them are variations on two or three standard themes. When teachers let the kids write whatever they want, if they want to write anything, it works. The questions are real, though some of them would stump the Sphinx. Why do the cat wings have wings? Why did you ever write books? I want to know how you make some of the words on the cover slanted. My cat Boo is 9. I am 10. How old is your cat? Is it fair to catch mice? And there are interesting criticisms. Kids are forthright, both positively and negatively. Their comments tell me what interests and what disturbs them. Did James ever get better from the owl? I hate Mrs. Jane Tabby. She made her kittens go away from home. The class mailings I enjoy most are those where the teacher has encouraged the kids to draw their own pictures of scenes in the book, or to write sequels and continuations of the adventures of the Cat Wings. Cat Wings 5 and Cat Wings 6 on UrsulaKLeGuin.com, posted quite a while back, are examples of one approach to this. The teacher has guided, collaborated with the students in making up the story and has chosen the pictures to illustrate it. This is an admirable exercise in teamwork on an artistic project, and the result is charming. Adult control, however, inevitably tames the wild unpredictability of stories and pictures that come straight from each child's imagination. Such illustrations, stories, and booklets give me almost unalloyed delight. The occasional alloy is in the now inevitable stories that imitate electronic games, a more alarming instance of adult control. In these, the cat wings go through a portal into the middle of an incoherent adventure involving battles and the slaughter of enemies, monsters, etc. by the million. Evidently, this is the only story the child knows. It's scary to see a mind trapped in an endless repetition of violent acts without meaning or resolution, only escalation to keep the stimulus going. So far, this kind of thing has come only from boys, which may be, in its way, a hopeful sign. I remember hearing my next older brother in 1937 making up and acting out his own adventure stories in his room. Shouts of defiance, muffled thuds, cries of get him," and machine gun fire. My brother came through all this mayhem as a quite unviolent adult. But the games of instantly rewarded destruction, in which the characters and action are ready-made action figures, and the only goal is winning, are designed to be addictive and therefore may be hard to outgrow or replace. Compelled into an endless, meaningless feedback loop, the imagination is starved and sterilized. As for the joy I get from the stories and booklets, a large part of it is in seeing that so many kids are perfectly willing to write a book. The book may be about 50 words long. They are confident about doing it and about illustrating it. They take obvious pleasure in giving it chapters and a table of contents and a cover and a dedication. And at the end, they all write "the end" with a proud flourish. They should be proud. Their teacher is proud of them. I am proud of them. I hope their family is proud of them. To have written a book is a very cool thing when you are 6 or 8 or 10 years old. It leads to other cool things, such as fearless reading. Why would anybody who's written a book be afraid of reading one? As an experienced connoisseur, I can say the best letters and books by kids are entirely handmade. A computer may make writing easier, but that's not always an advantage. Ease induces haste and glibness. From the visual point of view, the printout, with all idiosyncratic characters blanded into a standard font, is drably neat, while the artisanal script is full of vitality. Computer spell checking takes all the flavor out of the non-prescriptive, creative spelling that can give great delight to a reader. In a printout, nobody tells me what their favorite pert of the book is, or their favorite pert, or favorite pallert, or fav pond. In a printout, nobody asks me, "Why did you decide to write cat wigs?" And there are no splendid final salutations, such as sensorly, S-E-N-S-R-L-E, which had me stumped until sansurly, S-A-N-S-E-R-L-Y, and sincerely, S-I-H-N-S-E-R-L-Y, gave me the clue. Or yours truly, T-R-U-L-L-Y, also spelled C-H-R-U-L-E. Or frequently echoing young Jane Austen, your friend, F-R-E-I-N-D. Or the occasional totally mysterious farewells, "Mth from Derek, first way Anna." First way, brave teachers, brave children, and thank you for the quotations. Mth from Ursula.